Welcome to Madam Cisco's Mystic Network. I am Madam Cisco. Please, everyone, sit down around the table and join hands to form a network into the other world. You, sir, what is your name?
My name's Craig.
Craig, do you have someone you wish to talk to from the great beyond?
Yes, I want to contact my grandfather. His name's Richard. He passed away about a year ago.
Silence, everyone. Please, we must concentrate. Concentrate! Concentrate! Richard, we are calling out to you. Richard, can you hear us? Richard, please come in.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Richard. Is there anything you would like to ask your grandson, Craig?
Yes, Craig. Oh, it's good to see you. I've been meaning to ask you this since my death a year ago.
Yes, Grandpa, what?
Do you think you can walk me through installing Firefox instead of Internet Explorer?
What? A computer quit? I came all this way into... I get enough computer questions down here. Shoot, I can't believe it, man.
What? What did I say?
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Bathroom!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This show is also rated number one again among Sasquatches with MP3 players. This is show number 128K, or 80 for those counting in hexadecimal, for June 27, 2006. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the best co-host in the world, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm better, but I've got over it. Something like that. I've been better, but I got over it. Yeah.
If you're... I already read that part. Let's go on. Coming up in tonight's show, we have an update from the EAA. I went to the air show thing today. Great stories about impersonations. You'll hear more about that in the listener feedback. And SysAdmin Day is coming up. Are you ready?
Sure.
On this day in tech history for July 27th, 2006. This is July 27th, it's the 208th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 157 days remaining in the year 2006. It was on this date in 1866 that the Atlantic Cable is successfully completed, allowing transatlantic telegraph communication for the first time. And researchers at the University of Toronto, led by biochemist Frederick Banting, announced the discovery of the hormone insulin on this date in 1921. Bugs Bunny makes his official debut on this date in 1940 in the animated cartoon A Wild Hare. This is also the anniversary in 1949 of the initial flight of the de Havilland Comet, the first jet-powered airliner. And it was on this date in 1990 that the last Citroën 2CV rolled off the production line in Mangualde, Portugal. This is the date in 2002 of the Ukraine airshow disaster where a Sukhoi Su-27 fighter crashes during an airshow at Lviv, Ukraine, killing 85 people and injuring more than 100 others. This is the largest airshow disaster in history. NASA grounds a space shuttle STS-114 on this date in 2005, pending an investigation of the external tank's continuing foam shredding problem. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1667 to Johann Bernoulli, the Swiss mathematician. And English surveyor and astronomer, Jeremiah Dixon was born on this date in 1733. Happy birthday on this date in 1833 to English geologist Thomas George Bonney. Hungarian physicist Laurent Eötvös was born on this date in 1848. And happy birthday on this date in 1881 to Hans Fischer, the German chemist and Nobel Prize winner. British aircraft designer Geoffrey de Havilland was born on this date in 1882. Wonder if he was the designer of the de Havilland comet that made the first jet-powered flight on this date in 1949. And finally, happy birthday to Jay Maynard, who turns 46 today. Don't know the name? He's the Tron guy from internet fame. And that's the way it was on this date in tech history for July 27th, 2006.
Technorama presents Real Geeks of Genius.
Real Geeks of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Network System Administrator Guy.
Mr. Network System Administrator Guy.
Thanks for helping users do battle with day-to-day forces that delete files or create viruses, and securing our networks to keep the baddies out.
Watch out for that hacker!
What would we do with all of those blue screens?
Control-Alt-Delete!
When most of the people are out taking in a movie or having dinner with others, you're there, climbing under desks and into ceilings, pulling countless cables for routing packets that needed routing and keeping the internet up.
Got to have my porn!
For dealing with office politics when it comes to network policy. The only day you take off is when a Star Wars movie is released.
In a galaxy far, far away!
Today, we toast you with this jolt, Mr. System Network Administrator Guy.
Mr. Network Administrator Guy!
You're listening to Chuck and Craig on the latest episode of the Technorama podcast. And this is Ed Ovette interrupting the show to ask you to visit my show at edsmixbag.com for all genres of pod-safe music and a mystery sound contest with prizes. All of this and much more, creating a podcast that's out of this world. That URL again is edsmixbag.com. And now back to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Welcome back. You know, it's kind of interesting that the event about the worst air show disaster was on the day I went to an air show.
I was thinking about that when you brought it up on this day in tech history.
Well, I happened to record that last night. I try to get them done a little more in advance than sometimes people are on the stream going, "Is that what are you recording there?
What are you doing?"
And I happened to record it last night and went, "Oh my, I hope this hope I come back because Craig didn't hear that and go, not anymore."
Well, see, I was expecting the air marshals to converge on your location when you got there.
There were air marshals involved today, but we'll get into that. Not air marshals, but armed security guards, shall we say. I went to the EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association. Great fly-in once a year, last week in July. And this is my first opportunity to go down there for real. I've driven by a few times and seen the stunt planes flying in one and just went, wow, that's a sea of mobile homes and planes and people and stuff. I mean, it is acres and acres and acres. I mean, it's as big as a state fair.
You need to come over here when NASCAR's in town.
I'll bet it's a similar feel. This is a lot like Well, I think we said it in one of our clips that we gathered, that it's a lot like a computer fair, only replace the computers with planes. I mean, you get the basic idea. I took over 900 pictures today on that camera.
Whoa,
it's a good thing I
900?
Nine,
you took 900 pictures?
100. You got to remember, these stunt planes were going fast, so I'm going,
oh, yeah.
And I looked down, and like in 15 minutes, I went, oh, there goes another 100. We were only there for a few hours. I really would have liked to get there a little earlier so that I could talk to more of the private plane owners. I got three interviews. Steve Pruitt was there from Motocast, co-worker and, you know, co-podcaster, whatever guest. You've heard him if you've been listening to Technorama for any amount of time. We brought our daughters. He's got a seven-year-old daughter, and I brought my two. And they weren't having a real good time while we were walking around, but once the stunt plane started, it was pretty good. So we got a couple of, hey, Steve, where are we? Oh, we're at EAA, walking down a tarmac. I also got three interviews. Get this. I got one with a guy who flies the only FAA DC-3 still in service. There are DC-3s in service, but this is the only government-owned and operated one. So that was pretty cool. We had a short talk. We'll be inserting that segment. I talked with the navigator of the B-1 bomber while we were sitting right underneath the B-1 bomber. And coincidentally, when I finished up, he said, is that for a podcast? I went, sweet. He knows what a podcast is. I went, here's is my cool. card. So he may be listening to Technorama as he's flying around. That's how cool is that?
Yeah.
And
we'll be a member of the Mile High Club.
No. You didn't say that. I'd be tempted to go back and edit for that one. But all right, and
the Mile High Podcast Club. How about that?
We watched the stunt planes for a while, and I was looking at the sky and noticed that it was getting kind of dark and heading towards us. And they said 40% chance of severe downpours and thunderstorms and whatnot. So we started heading back, and it started raining harder. And we made it as far as the DC-3, which was, you know, a few hundred yards. We hid under the wing, and Steve goes, "Hey, let's go into the Honda tent." So we went into the Honda tent. They had a couple of Formula One racers there. They had boats. They had motorcycles. You know, Honda's known for a lot of stuff. Generators. Mm-hmm. It was all in this.
Robots.
This wasn't, you know, a regular 20 foot by 20 foot tent. This was probably 100
like a circus
feet.
Tent?
Big. Think warehouse. This had a metal frame on it. This was huge. God. And in there, they had the Honda Jet, which debuted at EAA last year. But they haven't got it fully certified for FAA and whatnot. That can take a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Steve points to the information desk and says, "Hey, there's a sign there that says, 'Media, please sign in.'"
We're the boys. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's in charge around here? My favorite line. So I sign in, and this lady goes, she can clearly see I don't have a press pass, and I am BSing my way through this thing.
We're with the band.
Smiling, you know, the whole thing. With the band. And she gets on her phone to call for somebody to give me, I don't know, a tour? Ejected? She says, "Yes, there's Chuck Tomasi from Technorama," you know, questioning where the heck that is. It's not like CBS or anything. And next thing I hear is, "Well, he's got a microphone with the mic flag on it, no doubt."
The mic flag too?
Got the mic flag. I mean, I was official. I didn't have my hat, but I was wearing my Technorama t-shirt, which I still am, by the way. So overcomes, what was her name? Not Angelique. I can't remember. It's the name of one of our former employees that's escaping me right now. It'll probably hit me in about 10 seconds. And she comes over, she starts talking to me, and then she says, "Oh, well, let me see if Steven here is available." I'm like, what did you walk up to me for? I'm not wearing a three-piece suit and holding a checkbook ready to buy one of these things, so I guess you don't count. So I get Steven, and Steven was very kind. We talked for a while. We walked up to the plane. We couldn't go in it because the one they had on the floor was just a working shell prototype. You know, looked good from the outside. But we had a decent conversation, and of course I asked, "How much is it?" And he didn't, he said, "It's not officially listed yet, so I'm guessing it's probably around in the $35 million range for
it." Wait a minute. The rule is, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
I just want to know how much the listeners are in for the tip jar. We'll have a Technorama corporate jet.
You can ride in it once if you throw a tip in.
Who do you think recorded the beginning of that thing? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your pilot. Yeah. We're getting ready. We are getting ready.
Yes, we are.
So Honda Jet was very fascinating. We'll get that in the show soon. And look for all of those audio segments coming up in upcoming shows. I'll put them in. They're not real long. They aren't official interviews that I can put in standalone segments. Like, you know, I did not get a chance to talk to Chuck Yeager. He's coming in later tonight, so the timing was off. And it would have been a long haul if I had found him to go back to the van to get the book.
Actually, that's who she was talking to when she said, he's got a microphone. They were waving Chuck off.
Well, we did have one thought. We thought that we could take the audio and say, you know, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this is our audio recording with Chuck Yeager. The audio is a little off. I cleaned it up as good as I could and come up. Hey, that was Chuck Yeager.
Thank you, Chuck.
So we didn't want to spoof that one because there may be an opportunity yet.
That's right.
How about you?
Well, today, or actually earlier this week, we got a MacBook Pro at work for doing some video editing. One of my coworkers, he does video on this on a PC, and he had been using Pinnacle's Liquid Edition. And I want to say they changed hands with the software. I'm not sure. Anyway, his machine had broke down, and he had to rebuild it. And he was going through the typical, jumping through hoops trying to get it to work right. And he got the drivers all installed, and of course, the software was complaining because the right drivers weren't installed or something like that. So he was getting fed up. Well, I talked him into getting a MacBook Pro, and we ran it by our IT guy, our IT manager. He okayed it. We got one in, and it's made its rounds to everybody in the office already. Everybody's checking it out. And tonight, I've got it here at home, and I'm playing around with the EyeSight camera. Got our webcam up, and I just want to say this thing is cool. It's a little big for a laptop. I mean, like large, bulky. Sucker's heavy for how big it is, because it's small as far as, you know, depth. But the speaker system on it is fantastic. I was playing Finding Nemo with my son earlier. We were watching the movie, and the sound just was unreal because it had the great spatial, Dolby surround sound type feel to the audio. Mm-hmm. And I was just blown away that it sounded that good, and the video was like watching a movie for the first time, because that's really the first time I've seen an HD movie. And I was like looking at all the specs, and I could read the stuff in behind him, like it was printed on the ship. And it's just the level of detail. I was just blown away. So I was like, I want to watch every movie I've got. but it's just, this thing is really great. The screen is beautiful. It's just a little big. I think if I was to get one of the MacBook series, I'd probably get the regular MacBook.
12
probably
inch?
That black.
What'd you get, the 17?
This is the Big Daddy, yes.
The 17? Yeah, the 17 is big.
It is big. It's a cafeteria tray.
Yeah.
But it's nice. I wouldn't turn it down, but it is big. Like I said, I'd probably go one of the 13-inch MacBooks myself, probably like the black one, because it's just a little smaller, and that's more my deal. But this is, you can crawl up here and take a nap.
Now, you posted last show, you had something on YouTube for how you edited the intro up, but you also posted that to Google. Has that made it up online yet?
Yeah, it was the spoof intro we did with the Ted Stevens Internet Tubes thing, and I posted it on YouTube and Google Video. Now, I did send a bigger file to Google Video, but it sure did take them a lot longer to put it up. I don't know what their criteria is to verify the videos, if somebody actually looks at it or what, but it took like 4 days for it to finally get up there. But it's there, and I got a link in the show notes if anybody wants to go see it there. And I think the resolution might be a little better on that one.
There's the same one guy in the back room as they do as iTunes uses to do things.
Oh, we're in the media corner.
Hey, we did mention the tip jar earlier. Not that we're saving up for a corporate jet, but I wanted to thank the person who put the tip in the tip jar. It was anonymous this time, so whoever you are, thank you very much. There is a link for the tip jar on the website, and it goes straight use to a little bandwidth.
We could also use a little help going to the expo.
You could.
Yes.
All right, enough of the chit-chat. Let's get into some of the listener feedback.
Oh, well, looks like the mail's still working.
Damn
straight, homie.
I think that's Will Smith from
that's what I was,
some yep. movie. All right, background music here is called Hard Drive Failure, so don't think it's your system making funny noises. I am playing
my
music.
My iPod's here. Broken.
First one's from Joel McLaughlin about Star Trek 11, or XI. Which way are we saying that? XI?
You know, I don't know if you're going to be able to play that. It's distracting.
it turns into music in a bit.
I'm looking at this MacBook Pro going, I hope it ain't.
No. Doesn't work. Says, hey, thanks for the Star Trek link. Sweet, I can't wait. Anyone else find it weird, or maybe it's cheap, that Paramount has Star Trek Cafe Press store? You can find it at cafepress.com/StarTrek. That is bizarre. You'd think they'd have their own swag unless somebody set that up as a gimmick.
I'm surprised they don't have like their own manufacturing center to pump shirts out.
I'll bet they do. This may be somebody else's take on it. And maybe, if they're selling things with the Star Trek, you know, icon and whatnot, Paramount's going to jump all over them. Anyway, they have lots of different Star Trek t-shirts, sweatshirts, and whatnot. My favorite is the shirt with the Vegas-like writing that says, whatever happens on Risa, stays on Risa. I like that one. Also, I like the cartoon-like shirt that says, it's cooler in the mirror universe.
Yeah, that's right.
Like a goatee or something on it.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't hear anything from you guys on the premiere of Eureka. I watched it on my DVR over the weekend, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow's episode. It's definitely up there with Battlestar Galactica, but not quite as good. Still a good show to watch. They did have some preview clips from Season 3 of BSG, but they went by so fast that I will have to watch it again. By the way, you can watch Eureka for free on sci-fi.com.
I'll have to check that out. I didn't watch it, but I've heard some other people talk about it, so I'm going to have to go check that out myself.
Is it a sci-fi.com show?
Yeah, you can watch it on their website.
Oh, I'm going to have to... Oh, crap. I already missed one, though. They were just talking about that in the chat room. Speaking of the chat room, we've got three women in there. That's amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
What do we do? Chuck, what do we do?
I get all tongue-tied. We've got Michelle, a.k.a. Country Signs, Karen from California, K.L. Wright, Kevin Devon, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, you, me, the Technorama Bot, Tim Elliott, and Douglas E. Welch. Those first three are the women, just so you don't worry. Nobody names their daughter Douglas.
I would be worried.
We also have an email from David Halowski. I hope I said that right. This one's titled, They Think I'm Insane.
We do too.
It says, hi, I just wanted to let you know that I found your podcast recently and I've been listening to the last three episodes at work. Unfortunately, I think my coworkers may now think I'm insane as I sit here laughing at my computer monitor for the last hour of work. Anyway, keep up the good work. It says he works tech support. I forgot what company it was for, but hey, spread the good news, tell everybody else, and they'll be laughing and you'll have something in common. You're all insane.
By the way, you know what's funny is we get those kind of emails a lot. Isn't that kind of funny?
Yeah, Bruce Barr has even said that. Here I am flying on the plane and laughing to myself. I do it too.
People are looking at me kind of funny.
I'm out walking around the neighborhood and listening to Kevin and George or Dr. Floyd, and somebody will say something. I'll just like go.
Yeah.
Can you imagine somebody walking by your house and going?
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, I looked at his last name, Halowski, or I'm not sure how you say that, but. You know, I looked up on the website of Future History.
Yeah.
And apparently, he creates the holodeck in about 2.5 years.
Same guy, now. David Halowski?
Yeah, makes the holodeck.
Wow. Hey, better get to work, David. That tech support job or call desk or call center or whatever you're working on, there's a future in that. Stick with it.
Yeah.
Then again, maybe not.
Nah.
That's pretty
and we
wild.
Also have an email from Shane, a.k.a. Razman.
Razman.
And he says he took me up, or actually he did it before I mentioned it, but he took up the hack that I mentioned on the last show, talking about taking the G2 pen and putting the Mont Blanc pen refill inside of it.
Yeah.
He says now as he writes this email, the pen is now drying up. Well, he's writing an email and his pen's drying up.
Maybe it's a tablet PC.
Yeah. Use the whiteout on the screen. Anyway, it says, he says it right sometimes it doesn't. He says, I don't write a whole lot, and I doubt the ink is running low, but it's drying out. So he thought it was kind of funny. He thought that the refills for the Mont Blanc were probably cheaper because, you know, $12 for a
$200 pen refill. That's kind of funny. So anyway, he says, thanks for the great show that we put on, and this is his first time writing in. Hope it's not your last.
Terrific. Hey, looking at the listener birthday calendar, I don't see any birthdays on there for this particular series of days coming up or immediately after this show.
Hey, so,
yes.
But somewhere out there, it's someone's birthday today.
Happy birthday, whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you are. You might be listening to it, and it might be your birthday, and we might wish you a happy birthday.
Otherwise, if you listen to this late, happy belated birthday.
All right, we don't have any voicemail this time around. So, quick break, and we'll be back with the news.
Hello, and welcome to Technorama. It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove. The only thing that's exposed when it's all tight and sealed up, even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. There is a little rubber trap door. It's a very thin membrane, and it impedes absolutely none.
Every once in a while, you know, raise it up or take it off and clean, you know, around it. But I love it. I love the that rubbery silicone feel. However, I would always feel like it's going to slide on my hand with that chrome on the back.
It gets pretty slippery, especially if you've been eating Cheetos or something.
Your hand gets a little greasy. This has a nice grippy feel, and you know, you could go out in the rain and this would be completely protected because it is practically watertight.
This is Lance Heath from the Digital Experience Podcast, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
And now the news with us.
La 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 la.
Okay, in case you're not ready, System Administrator Appreciation Day is coming up. You can find out more about that. It's Friday, July 28th. Don't miss it. You can get more info at sysadmin.com. This is an official holiday. Don't think it's a joke. It's not. I was a sysadmin, and now I appreciate them even more.
I signed it into law, so it must be true.
Now I manage sysadmins. So, when is System Administrator Manager Appreciation Day?
Never. Hey, what are you going to do for your guys?
Take the afternoon off.
You are?
Yeah, I'm taking the afternoon off. I got some interviews to do.
Hey, y'all had a party last time, didn't you?
The admin assistants brought in a cake. What did we do?
I saw there was a picture of you ripping your shirt off.
I saw that shirt. It's in the van right now. That was my dry shirt when it rained this afternoon.
You never took it out of the van since last year?
No. Well, yes, I did. Stop making me feel bad. That was a loaded question, wasn't it? And I walked right into it.
Ba-dum-tsh.
All right, so don't forget your system administrators. Hopefully you'll hear this on or before Friday, February 28th. Just at a minimum, just send them an email and say, attaboy or attagirl, or we love you, thank you, don't disable my account.
Hey, and by the way, if you listen to this after that, happy belated System Administrators
Day.
That's
true. Send them an email. Tell them it got lost in the server.
Tell them they should fix the daggum servers.
We also have a story here fresh off the press from K.L. Wright, who is in the chat room. Said, Chuck, check your mail. I checked my mail, and it reads, Blind Kids Conquer Haleakala.
This is say that three times fast.
Christy Wilson. This is a Hawaiian newsletter thingy that I honestly don't know the complete source, so I'm not going to even try to imitate that I do. It reads, Dave Eveland leads a group of blind teenagers and volunteers on the final leg of their four-day trek through Haleakala Crater. The five students who made the hike are K.L. Wright, Lilani Kekauna, I hope I said that right, that's probably the hardest one, Michael Paul Resch, Shannon Cantan, and Jolene Mariano Hardy. So, K.L., way to go. I envy you.
Congratulations.
One of these days, soon, maybe 2008, I will be going to Hawaii, and I will look you up, and maybe we can take a stroll on Haleakala together or something. Is Haleakala the one that's erupting right now? No, that's Kilauea.
So I hope not. They just walked around it. Hey, this is hot.
Don't look at me.
Hacks and strange stories.
If something is pointing to you in the sky, don't be afraid. It's just a kite.
I love this one. Yeah. I love this one. Someone made this, a cursor-shaped kite. I mean, it is perfect because it's asymmetric. If you've ever looked at the little arrow on your Windows or Mac, it's not perfectly symmetrical. It's asymmetric. And the pictures we've got linked to on the Flickr site, or excuse me, on the Make Magazine site, are it honestly looks like someone drew a cursor pointing.
Or pasted one into the picture somehow.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And this guy's flying the kite around. You can see the strings. And in the first picture, it's pointing at a girl in a bikini, which is, you know, somewhat suspect.
Hey, this is the Burning Man Festival. Everybody's got bikinis and no clothes on and stuff.
What was your comment? You wanted to see the finger pointer cursor next?
Yeah, I was thinking of the hand, you know, like you're going to click on a link.
make a kite that looks like that.
Yeah.
But that only points up.
Or you could do the little beach ball on the Mac.
Yeah, the spinning lollipop of death.
Yeah. Boo. Yep.
On a similar note, we also have a link to Mark Shepard's collection of photos on Flickr. He is terrific. He finds these things and then he sends them to us. And this one is all about error messages. And it's kind of funny. I don't
here's the
know
first
how many
one
of those
I saw.
Are legit. But.
Here's the first one I saw. Uh-oh, you're screwed.
Click OK.
Yeah, these are made up, I think. But I've seen some that, what's that one's website? We talked about this a long time ago. It was about the error message, or the, it was the case study on poor UI design.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it talked about, click yes, and it says OK or cancel and stuff like that. Crap like that. How many times have you gotten that? Or, of course, the classic, you know, keyboard not present. Press F1 to continue.
Sure, why not?
Oh, wait. Anyway.
When you find the any key, let me know. We also have an email from David Glashevsky about wearing red shirts. He said, today I had a red golf shirt on and stopped by the Compusa on the way to home from work. That's Compusa.
Wait, say that. Yeah, okay.
I call it Compusa.
I know. I heard your rants a long time ago about that.
I walk in the store and someone comes up to me asking me where USB cables were. I looked around wondering why this whack job is asking me where the crap is. When I realized...
Over in the media corner.
Over there in the media corner. When I realized my shirt is very similar to the shirts that Compusa employees wear. So I say, I don't work here, but I think they are over there. Pointing to an area where I thought they were. Of course, the item I went there for to look was in the back of the store. I was stopped 6 more times while walking to the back of the store by people who thought I worked there. One guy got all pissy with me and said, when I said I didn't work here, after he asked where the monitors were. I think a manager did a double take when he saw me standing around playing with something.
That's funny.
I'll take it that's a video game. Playing on the Xbox. So the moral of the story is, don't wear a red golf shirt to Compusa or Circuit City, or wear a blue shirt to Best Buy. I think we talked about this, didn't we?
It was about a group that did one of those improv things where they showed up at Best Buy and they all had khakis and blue shirts.
and they were trying to make life better, apparently.
Well, yeah, they were just standing around and they said, if somebody asked us where something was, we would help them if we could, but they were just there to stand around. But, you know, I was thinking to divert attention from yourself wearing the red shirt, just go in there and take your shirt off.
No shoes, no shirt, no USB cables.
Instead of, excuse me, can you help me? Say, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Can I have the shirt off your back?
Anyway, here's we also have a link in our Hacks and Dreams stores to the largest 3D model of the solar system, which is very interesting. It's from, I forget what school is that, UMPI in Maine. They had they developed the solar system and spread out the planets in a ratio 1 to 93 million mile scale.
Yeah.
Is that right?
93 million miles, for those of you who don't remember, is the distance from the sun to the Earth, or 1 AU. So they basically took 1 AU, 93 million miles, and made it 1 mile. So it's 1 mile from the sun to the Earth. All the other planets and ratios and sizes of the planets and things fit that scale, which means the sun is about 49 feet in diameter. They just had some arcs in this building that fit that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get go ahead.
I was going to say, and Mercury is 0.4 miles away from the sun, and it's a pedestal with a pole, and each one of these is on a pedestal with a pole. It is very similar, and has a planet mounted up there in the actual scale.
And so, the orbit, if you look at the crazy pole that Uranus is on, it's sideways. I mean, it's got that slanty tilt. The axis goes through, so the pole has to be a little crazy to do that.
Mm-hmm. At first, I was like, where are they putting these? And then it dawned on me, it's like, oh, they're spread out in relation to where they were in the sun, you know, where they really are. I was like, oh, I gotcha. So it's really cool. The Earth looks pretty nice. I think I was impressed with Jupiter's.
Saturn was pretty awesome, too. And then you realize how far away these things are.
I think the last one was like, I want to say 20.
I think it was like 19 miles to Pluto.
No. Well, actually, you know what? They don't say what it was to Pluto, but to Neptune, they had 30 miles away.
30 miles away. Imagine seeing a 50-foot sphere from 50 miles away. That's the sun.
Yeah.
Does that give you a clue how flipping... And try walking it. How long would it take to walk a mile? Maybe...
Wait a minute, me or K-Al?
No, just... just if you went out and walked a mile, it would take, what, about 20 minutes?
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe 15, 20 minutes? Mm-hmm. Okay, walk to Pluto. You'd be there a while. And you
run,
would be,
Forrest, run!
In terms of scale, you would be walking really fast.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
That's why it takes spaceships forever to get out there, and they got to use the gravity of planets and things to sling themselves around.
Yep, for speed, yep.
Good stuff. We'll be right back. Another quick break.
I used to have people call all the time. 9 times out of 10, you're never going to get that.
Close enough for government. We're called none other than Technorama.
Enjoying Technorama.
He's also installed a robot. This thing's made out of a big whiskey bottle.
Working.
Okay, that's kind of weird. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. You know what I thought about?
Pre-release.
Pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
I don't remember any of that stuff. I'm not old enough. But apparently right. Craig's old enough to remember something.
Yes, my name. I recently I was doing some stuff at work, and I don't know where I was looking. I think I was looking up some on the internet, but I don't know where this came from. But I was remembering back in the day, I was sitting in a school, and I knew this guy. His name was Craig Watts, and he was sitting over across from me. And somebody told me that he knew Commodores really well, and that was the beginning of those kind of Commodores. But anyway, that was the beginning of a really good friendship. We were friends for, 5 or 6 years easy. And he taught me how to do sprites on Commodore. And I was thinking about it today, about how difficult that was for me to try and figure out on my own. Some of the poke places, you had to poke data into certain memory locations to get it to show up and then where to put it. And, of course, you had collision detection and all that good stuff. And my mind was just... I was drawing a blank trying to remember all the locations and stuff, yet I'd done it so much, back in the day. It's just amazing. So I went and looked up, and I got a link over at everything2.com, and there's a article there talking about creating a sprite on the Commodore 64, and some of the stuff just really took me back. So if you have a Commodore story, please share it with me. I spent 8 hours a day on that thing after school every day, just writing programs. One program I wrote talking about the sprites, this is where the sprite stuff came from, is I wrote a program called
Remember the show V?
Yes.
Well, I wrote a game called V. It looked like Pitfall. It had the guy running, and it was a platform thing, and you could get in the ship and did the Zaxxon type thing with your in the shuttle, and even had it on a red floppy with V written in magic marker on the disc.
You want to hear something really scary?
Yeah, what?
One of the first programs I wrote for the Apple II was based on Pitfall as well. What was it about that game?
It was just cool. It was cool. It looked like he was really moving.
Yeah, that was high-tech animation back then.
Oh, man. Actually, you know, what gave me the idea was I got a pamphlet from Activision, and the pamphlet talked about how to make, you know, Pitfall hairy. And I was like, oh, cool. So I was looking at it, and I was just blown away going, wow, there's only like 3 frames. Leg up, leg down, leg up. Yep. Anyway, that was so cool.
All right, we have one other thing in here. Another set of pictures from Mark Shepard to his Flickr photos about a lot of tragic crashes. Many of them are planes. There are some big trucks. There's
Technorama.
No, not big crashes like that.
Okay.
So
I like the plane just sitting as pretty as you please in the water.
Or the minivan in the swimming pool. Some of them you just wonder how they got there. Others are a little disturbing because there's, you know, planes that are still in flight while on fire, that kind of thing. But
well, you know what? There's one here. It's the speedboat that ran into the pole. About the depth, the water depth. And I'm looking at that, and you can see it rammed it.
Yeah.
Whoever was driving that boat had to have been seriously hurt.
Or the motorcycle that literally, you know, folded a car in half. That motorcycle guy must have still been flying. I mean, he probably went into orbit.
If he's alive, more power to him, because I don't know how he did it.
The one that I thought was most disturbing was the stunt plane that like hit a fence while it was inverted. You can see the cockpit, the canopy is sheared off. The pilot is still in there, and it almost looks like he's looking right at the camera. It's kind of freaky because you know, you're not sure if he's alive or dead at that point, because if the canopy was sheared off, you'd think he was dead. But if he wasn't, he's going to be soon.
And now there's one plane picture, unbelievable 29.jpg, that Mark didn't title these. So anyway, if you look at the plane, it looks like it was sliced like bread. Well, you know, on the Mythbusters, they actually took this photo and tried to prove or disprove this myth and prove that it could happen, that the blades... another plane that was taxiing on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
I think it got loose or something. It just kind of went slowly on its own, and it went up to the edge of this or side of this plane, and cut it. And given the right speed and the blade,
and the distance power, and everything,
it would cut it right in half. It would cut it like that.
Sure, that's not that strong. All right, one more quick break, and we'll be back to wrap up.
We got a slug of them, to say the least, yes.
A slug? Is that a metric
slug? A slug. It's a metric slug.
I'm free! I'm open! I'm open! I'm open!
Oh, damn. Oh, I love turducken. I've done turducken for 2 years now. I don't remember what those are. How do we get on food? Is this the Food Network?
We can stretch anything into Technorama.
I know. Chuck is losing it. He needs vacation time.
Let's promote him to manager! You keep talking, I'll keep listening.
Well, there goes that.
You're listening to the Technorama podcast, and this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
We're different, all right.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of different...
Speaking of different.
In the Geek Library.
Good news, everyone. Actually, there's an interview with Billy West over at Slashdot. You know, at Slashdot, they have the Ask Somebody, you know, they do an interview, and they have everybody post questions into the comment system, and the ones that are voted the highest get sent over to whoever they're interviewing. And this time it's Billy West. I have not read through these yet. I just noticed that they actually posted them on the 5th. Wow, I must have missed that one. Anyway, they posted his answers, so go over there and check that out. Billy West is a voice of several characters of on Futurama and Stimpy and all that kind of stuff. He did a ton of stuff, so thought y'all might be interested in that.
We also have a ton of links again from Marv. Thank you very much. We ought to just call this the Marv Library from now on.
Yeah.
He's M&M. Got an article about a gamer who got disgusted by his dice and buried them. A 10-cent ring, which is actually more like 50 cents to a dollar ring, if the photos are accurate. The biggest hole in the world. I'm not even going to... Well,
have you seen it?
With photos,
did you see it?
No.
Go look, please. Go look.
Right now.
Yeah, pull up the link.
Okay.
Just scroll down a little bit, and it looks like a big... It looks like what you'd imagine a tornado looks like from the top, but it's embedded in the ground. It's huge.
I think I've seen this before. Is this the one that people go... base jumping down? No,
I don't know about base jumping.
I'm thinking of one that's deep in the jungle in South America, I think.
Well, it does state here that it's a no-fly zone because there's a vortex sort of in the air above this, and it's caused a lot of helicopter crashes.
Banner ads to quit loading. Gee whiz.
Anyway, you see one of those huge, humongous dump trucks like you would see on... one of those shows like on
it's a Discovery.
Yeah, it's a big diamond pit mine. And there's a picture of the truck, and if you look at the picture immediately below it, there's a red arrow. There's where the truck's at. Look how big that hole is.
Wow.
It's amazing. Anyway, go check that out.
That must have taken years. Holy cow, yeah. You can see this thing from space.
I hope it doesn't sink, you know, become a sinkhole and take the city with it.
Erosion must be a consideration. Those are pretty steep walls.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. And space date is set for Scotty's ashes. Jimmy Doohan's ashes are going into space, apparently. So actually, news from the BBC, we will have you there.
I was looking to see if I could see the date real quick, but I assume it's soon.
Yet another plea for more pictures for my presentation at the Podcast Expo. Many of you have sent in pictures, and thank you very much. There are still many of you out there that I really would love to hear from. Doesn't have to be terrific picture. It can be candid. It can be posed. It has to be clean and decent. anywhere from 800 by 600 to 16 by 12 would be terrific.
Maybe you should just surf MySpace and grab a few pictures here and there.
MySpace, Flickr, you name it. I'm going to start looking. Start snagging pictures of strangers if I have to. But I'd rather have them say, you know, all these people are Technorama listeners or friends in tech listeners or friends of tech listeners.
Yeah.
Want to hear from you. Let's give them the contact information. Any requests?
Oh, for me?
You want to hear them?
No, make up one. I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to flip a coin. Oh, look, it landed on the Grand Nagus from...
Oh, look. All right, go for it.
Oh, Quark! If you want to contact the listener line, you got to contact 206-222-CHAT. How do you expect to be the Grand Nagus if you don't leave him listener line?
You know, Grand Nagus sounds an awful lot like Lenny when you think about it.
Yes.
If you want to email Chuck, he's at chuck@chuckchat.com. Or you can send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. And Craig... he's the same thing, only KREG at chuckchat.com. There's the website for all the forums and swag and gold press latinum and webcams and all that other good stuff.
Go buy it all.
Go there now. Don't forget the 143rd rule of acquisition states. I'm looking
apparently
it up here.
You forgot.
Even Grand Nagus have problems with their memory sometimes. Listen to Technorama and tell a friend, and you shall inherit the world.
Stop touching my lobe.
Those would be my lobes, buddy.
Audio streaming is provided by Scott Reynolds Chat Room, Freenode.net. Music in today's email segment was provided by, I don't know, I don't have the artist on here, but I'm looking it up real quick. It's called General Fuzz. That's the name of the band. Peachy.
Yeah.
If you're getting this show by clicking on the link on the website.
Or iTunes.
Consider subscribing for free, and we will tell you how to do that if you're confused. There are podcatching clients out there like iTunes, like Juice, like iPodRx, or... Oh, no, that got changed, didn't it? I can't.
It's Radiator or something like that.
Broken Radiator. Yeah. We'll help you. We can show you. We can tell you what you want to know. Like I said, tell a friend about Technorama. Don't just sit there laughing at your monitor all by yourself. Share it with a friend, and they can laugh at your monitor, too. Thanks for listening. As always, binary high five.
101. Happy Sysadmin Day.
Happy Sysadmin Day, and thank you to all you system administrators. You make our life reasonable.
I am invincible! Invincible! You're... Ah!